It's the Morning Rush, live at 5.
Talking speaker, give me the Blue Jays score for last night. 6-3.
6-3, an afternoon game.
Which means the Jays are still in a wild card position, he said.
Still tied because Boston and New York also won last night, so...
Well, they're in.
But they're in. They're in, and I believe they have the tiebreaker, so they're technically in the first spot.
Well, there you go. I'm surprised you come down to believe. I'm surprised.
I know they have the tiebreaker on Boston. It's the New York one I'm not as sure about. So,
because you looks like already planning your trip for the World Series.
Let's go. Exactly.
No, you are going to a Jays game.
I am. Yeah, in a couple weeks I'm going to go down. So I'm excited. I haven't been to a Jays home game in quite a few years. I went to a few road games, saw them in Boston, saw them in Detroit.
I'm going to Toronto this weekend.
Are you? You going to catch a game?
And we managed to leave my mother-in-law at home, which is kind of exciting. No, it's going to be too busy. We're going for a friend's retirement.
Well, that's exciting.
Yeah, that makes it sound like we're 1,000
How
years old
are you? Yeah, well, there's that.
But no, she's worked for government her whole life. So
she's like 38.
She's 12 and already they have that formula of your age and the years that you worked.
Yeah.
And then you can retire pretty young. She's, I'm going to say 55 maybe.
Okay.
Something like that. It's a friend of Sylvie's. Of course, we've been together for 19 years, so she's also become a friend of mine. So that'll be fun. And then we have a family gathering, which I'm going to hit on the way back in Oshawa. Haven't seen my family since my mom's funeral. So we're going to do that.
Nice.
And it's outdoors, so I hope the weather holds.
How does it look now? Okay?
I haven't checked, because what's the point, right?
I know.
I can ask Rosie when she comes in. She'll know.
She can't. Is it Saturday or Sunday? Oh, this is Ottawa, though.
Saturday.
50% chance of rain in Ottawa. Nice. And, but... sun cloud mix in Toronto, so somewhere in between, closer to Toronto.
About Toronto looks good.
It's I was in Ottawa, though, when I opened.
Partly cloudy in 24 in Toronto.
Yeah, it's Ottawa that was the problem.
Yeah, well, Oshawa is a lot closer to Toronto than Ottawa.
So
I'm going to go with Toronto's weather forecast for that. Who wouldn't want to be Jason Kenney right now? Huh? He's getting...
What some drama over there.
Yeah, lots of calls for his resignation. Take responsibility. And he's, it's a very different premier than we saw 2 months ago, where their medical officer of health's even admitted that they looked at the UK numbers. And remember, they had the big spike, the European Cup spike, and then not a lot of hospitalizations. So they thought they can do it there. We could do it here. The problem is their vaccination rate was lower. The European Cup spike was a lot of younger people. And slowly but surely, their hospitalizations did go up. In fact, I think they probably opened up Alberta just around the time there was the European Cup spike, then it dropped back down. Everybody thought their fourth wave was over. But it stalled as it was dropping, and then it slowly started to edge back up. I read a story this morning that CTV News did. They allowed cameras into an ICU in Hamilton.
Okay.
We have one patient there who's a young guy in his 30s who's been there for months, long enough that he couldn't even get vaccinated when he first got infected.
Oh, wow.
Still there.
Still in the ICU?
One of those machines where they take all of your blood out, scrub it of the carbons, put in oxygen, and then put the blood back in.
Jeez.
Boy, oh boy. You know, if your lungs have been that bad that long, you wonder if you're ever going to really
recover.
But their point was to show that, number one, the disease is real, because yes, some people don't think so. Isn't that crazy? And that every single person in their ICU, every single one is unvaccinated.
That's
including the guy who didn't have a choice at the time.
Yeah.
Everybody. Across the country, it's more like 92, 93% of the people in ICU are unvaccinated. And the ones who are vaccinated tend to be older or have a lot of other issues they were dealing with. So the vaccine didn't keep them out of the ICU, but
wow.
I know, but and I hope that a lot of people see that piece. I don't know, did you get sound from it?
Maybe I haven't yet. I just read it when you sent it to me, so I'll grab
Yeah. Do you notice how I was sending you stories at 3 o'clock?
I was about to ask. Like, you sent that one. I woke up at 3, and you had texted me like 20 minutes before. Like, is everything okay? It was just a story that you had read.
Mm-hmm. 3 nights ago was the last time I had a good night's sleep. Just one of those weeks.
Mm. Yeah. This has been a long week for me. It feels like it should be Saturday, let alone Friday.
Yeah. And then I was so exhausted yesterday, I went to bed early, and then you wake up at 2:30.
Yeah.
So well, that wrecks tonight, yeah. too.
I went to bed at the same time as Daisy last night, and I was wide awake at 3. It's not a good plan.
Did you go with Daisy? Did you bring her to bed?
No. I put her in the crib, and then I went to my bed.
Yeah. I was always worried when my kids were babies that I'd be the guy to roll over and crush them or smother them.
We were at my parents' about 2 months ago. It was the only time she hasn't slept in her crib because she wouldn't calm down. So I had her on me, and I put her on a bed, which was up against the wall, and I laid on the other side. I woke up every 15 minutes. I was sure she was going to be dead. I was
funny
so
how
scared.
When you're at the age of having your babies, you know a lot of other people who are at the, and I guess it's biology.
Right.
And at friend groups, right? Is that still a big debate in the parenting community about whether or not you co-sleep?
Yeah, I know a lot of friends that do. I don't know that she's at that age yet, but we don't. But I did it the one time, and honestly, I was so scared. How do you guys do it?
And is there still the breastfeeding Nazis?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That don't feed your kid, they're going to die.
The Leche League. I think they're called the Leche League.
That's right.
Like that. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Is it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know them. I didn't know that's what they were called. But
they can get pretty strident.
It's intense.
But also, just like, can't everyone
I think breastfeeding is better if you can do it, but it's not possible for every woman.
Well,
it makes
them
feel terrible.
They said for a while, breast is best, and then there was a whole new movement that said, fed is best. How about you just feed your baby? That's really, at the end of the day, whether you can breastfeed or not breastfeed, just take care and love and feed your baby.
Yeah, and then
take
just
all
keep
that
your thoughts to yourself with all your friends.
You do what you can do.
Right?
It's not easy.
Well, I was happy that we did breast. When I say we, like I did any work, that our kids were breastfed only because I'd read at the time that getting mom's antibodies early on could prevent asthma.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I was given the last rites when I was a child.
Mm.
I got so close to death with asthma and had many, many experiences over the years of being in the emergency room, which is probably why I beg people to get vaccinated against COVID, because I know what it's like to have your lungs filled with fluid, to be choking for every breath. I mean, I still remember even being a small child. I saw an old photograph the other day, and I saw the couch that I used to lie on so I'd be close to my mom, and I knew every pattern on that couch because I'd lie there awake for days trying to breathe.
Oh my.
Yeah, don't
this
do that
This is not
much.
A disease you want.
Yeah, and you and I are sharing a brain today when it comes to what we're following, because you were, as I walked in the room, you were just finishing talking about Alberta, which is our top story today. State of emergency there. They're going backwards, right, after opening up in July and essentially treating the pandemic as if it was over. Jason Kenney held it like an emergency press conference last night, saying that they are at risk of exhausting their ICUs. They have the highest number of COVID cases in the country, more than 18,000 active cases. They are now introducing a passport as a result. Things there have gone from, you know, what they thought was great to then not so great to bad to worse. And you followed up with that on the special that CTV did yesterday in a Hamilton hospital. It is a story that I really encourage anyone, go on to ctvnews.ca, watch it. Their medical reporter, Avis Favreau, was allowed access into the ICU, into the hospital, where she spoke with a doctor, she spoke with the nurses, the teams, and as you explained there, what we saw in that story, if you have yet to figure out why you need a vaccine, that is the story that should convince you. And the doctors are pretty blunt about it. The nurses are blunt about it. They're also blunt about, you know, how they felt about all these anti-vaccine rallies that were held earlier this week outside hospitals, how demoralizing they felt seeing people being protesting them at their place of work while they're on the inside, on the other side of a wall, saving lives. They talk as well about in the story how, and I don't want to give everything away, but one part that just had me gasp a little bit for air was when the doctor described the two tubes, like you mentioned, Bill, they were going into the people, their hose size tubes, two of them in every patient.
Yeah, they look like garden hoses.
Garden hoses. That's how he described them. Two garden hoses. One that goes in your like your trach and then another in your groin area. And it's to, yeah, exactly. Bring out the blood, circulate it, clean it, bring it back in, create the oxygen. I mean, and that in one case, he said there was a young man there in his 30s or 40s, I believe he had said that just before getting put onto a ventilator had begged for a vaccine. It's too late then.
Yeah.
That's when you
and here's what's interesting
on death's
and
door.
I know I've said this before, but not everybody's listening every minute. I find that what you just said to be the most powerful condemnation of people who are not taking vaccines. They say they've done their research mm-hmm. and they've decided that the vast majority of scientists in the world who study this every day for a living are wrong. And they went on Google and they're right because they know something about this vaccine. All the experts in the world don't know. And yet they don't know this one simple thing. That's not how vaccines work.
Yeah.
They don't do any good when you already have the disease. They're prophylactic. You get them ahead of time to build your immune system.
Yeah.
And even then you can still get the disease. In fact, Dr. Dworkin and I talked about this in depth the other day. That's how every vaccine works. We're all so surprised that people are still testing positive. No, the virus is in the air. It gets into your lungs, into your nose. It starts to replicate. But if you're vaccinated very quickly, your body starts to fight back and kill it.
Yeah.
If you're already in the ICU, it's too late for your body to have a fast immune response. Your body already has the immune response. But it didn't get there before the virus reproduced to the point where now it's causing serious damage.
And that's
and
fact.
Yet they think they know about vaccines.
Everything you just said there is fact. And of course, you know, in your role, you can have opinion. We can all have opinion. Even journalists, we all have opinions. And sure, we tend to lean one side or another. However, what you see in that report from Avis is fact. She's in a hospital. She's getting straight answers from the doctors.
Yeah, but people will say, we don't know that all of those people have the disease. They could be there for other reasons.
Yeah, they hire them.
They don't want to believe the doctor. They don't want to believe the doctor who's telling them. I mean, that's the research you do. That's you watch the stories, right?
We're not talking about the vaccine hesitant now. People who are, you know, still a little bit worried. But the dyed-in-the-wool, this is a hoax, vaccines don't work. That group, if you've noticed, because we all probably know someone in our circle who's like this, the story changes as their beliefs are disproven. I have a friend who absolutely believed the minute the U.S. election was over, COVID-19 would go away.
Mm.
That it was pure fiction to damage Donald Trump.
Right.
He believed that to his core. And I'd say, do you really think that people wake up in New Zealand or even Canada right next door or the U.K. or France or Italy or Germany and say, let's go along with this worldwide elaborate hoax because we hate Donald Trump that much? I said, I have news for you. Yeah, the world talks about Donald Trump, but we are not as American focused as you think we are. We are not, you know, I know Doug Ford. I've known him for a long time. He is not shutting down Ontario's economy because he wants to hurt Doug Ford. That is nonsense, what you're saying right now.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the election came and it went. And COVID just stayed here.
And
right?
It's still killing. Yeah.
And still killing people.
Yeah.
Now, so then they're on to the next belief.
Yeah. And maybe that group, like you said there, you know, that the ones that were on the fringe and couldn't decide. I mean, hopefully over time they have been convinced otherwise. And maybe the group that are the core group of those who will never believe in getting vaccine. I mean, they probably will never have their minds changed. But hopefully that group is getting smaller and smaller. The science is there. The facts are there.
You're talking about. One of the doctors said there have been some with their dying breath saying that they still don't believe the disease is real.
They won't take the vaccine, but they'll take whatever other medications they have no idea what they are. The nurses and doctors are pumping in them.
I'm not taking an unproven vaccine. I've got ivermectin that I ordered online.
Mm.
Nobel Prize.
Yeah.
I know. Then they tout the Nobel Prize. He didn't win the Nobel Prize for COVID-19 treatment. He won the Nobel Prize for getting rid of worms.
Well, I know. But in humans, though. It's not horse meds. They won a Nobel Prize for humans, not for COVID.
Well, I mean, listen, humans do take ivermectin for head lice and stuff, too. But the proper dose after it's been tested.
Yeah.
You can't just shove that in your body. And then the study, they send you the studies. The studies show that in the lab, ivermectin killed the cells. Well, so does bleach. Mm. But, you know.
You are not a horse. You are not a cow. Do not take ivermectin. I think that advertisement was.
6 months of COVID, I will be a horse or a cow.
I'm getting pretty close there, guys. This shirt's pretty
Rosie, how's the weather?
Hey, the weather's cooperating, Bill. It's going to be beautiful. Great incentive to get outside and not be a horse. But maybe, you know, like gallop like a horse and get a little bit of exercise. But did you see the sky last night? The sunset was stunning.
Oh, it was amazing.
Spectacular.
Oh, my gosh.
My teenager started sending me pictures from upstairs. That's how they communicate.
That's how you guys communicate.
They didn't come downstairs and say, let's go outside and share the sunset.
Take in this moment.
Do you see how nice this is?
From their window.
Click.
I almost left the room.
It was just beautiful, the beautiful red and orange in the sky. And, hey, it's incentive to tell you, hey, tomorrow's going to be another great day. And the weather is cooperating. We're at 10 degrees right now. We got light patchy fog going up to high at 23, mainly sunny this afternoon. Clear skies tonight, beautiful and warm tomorrow, 26 degrees. And, yeah, we're talking Humidex again. In the middle of September, it's going to feel more like 33 with the mix of sun and cloud. And
wow.
Then Saturday.
Summer day.
I know, right? And Saturday, another gorgeous day. Sunny skies and a high of 23. You want me to take a peek at Election Day Monday? You want to know what that's going to look like?
Already voted, but sure, throw it out there.
Yeah, you voted. But maybe, you know, if a lot of other people are going to be out there. It's going to be gorgeous. 26, a mix of sun and cloud. So we got to get out. Moving. Don't just stay in the house.
Well, you know, I think I'm reluctant to encourage people to go out and vote. It sort of depends who you want to vote for, but I won't go beyond that. Elections Canada says it could take between 2 and 5 days to count the mail-in ballots.
Okay.
And some of them will be in ridings where they're close races, and the number of mail-in ballots is greater than the difference between the candidates in the last election. I got a text from Toronto. Do you want to take part in an election night panel at 9:50?
Oh, no thanks.
Like 9? Do you know what I do for a living? I think this year I'm going to bed early and get up early to see the results and get ready for the show.
Yeah.
Because I don't think we'll know much at 10 or 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah, I think that's smart.
And I know if you get stuck on these panels...
You're not getting off until there's a result.
Yeah.
Next Wednesday.
And then I'd feel bad for the host who's struggling to fill the airtime as the panelists all start going to bed. And I've been in that position. I've been that host. Then I'd feel bad and stay up right through the morning show. Then you want to see Cranky Bill. That won't be pretty. So I said no. And I felt terrible doing that. But 9:50? Does he? I haven't seen this side of 9:30 in a long time. Not and feel good about it in the morning. All right, thank you. It's 5:29. It's the Morning Rush morning meeting. We're live at 5, and we're not sure why.
It's the Morning Rush live at 5.
One of the few things going down in price, though, which we'll also talk about as the morning goes on. Matt, we got to do something on this. Lumber.
Yeah, what happened there?
It crashed. The price of lumber crashed. I guess because people have finished their renovations, right? In the early days of COVID, people are like, well, I'm home all the time. Honey, we're going to build that big backyard deck I've always wanted because we can't go away this summer. We're going to spend the money. We're finally going to add that man cave in the, woman cave, people cave in the basement. We're going to do it. And everybody was renovating. And so it was the lumber shortage. There were also, I think, issues with supply chains were part of it. It's kind of a complicated issue as these price things usually are. But anyway, whatever's going on has been fixed. Now's the time to renovate.
Exactly, yeah. Go help
now
yourself.
Now that everybody's renovated. Here's the problem, though. Can't afford to buy a carrot. So I'm going to need that lumber money so that we can eat because inflation is skyrocketing. Listen, this country, I've been alive when inflation's been way higher than 4.2%, but it hasn't been anything close to this in years. And we've built a society around low inflation. Imagine for a second, Matt, if the inflation rate goes up even more and the government thinks we got to step in and bring it down, you know what they do? You know what the best weapon you have is?
Yeah, there goes my interest rates.
Interest rates go up. Your mortgage goes through the roof. Many people have been mortgaged to the eyeballs in recent years because we thought these low interest rates would last forever. Now, it's not so sure. Maybe this is the government's way of controlling house prices. Because if mortgage rates skyrocket, house prices collapse. So all that equity you have built up, especially if you're close to retirement, you don't have time to recover from that. It could take a decade for housing prices to recover if there's a bubble that bursts. This is a really scary moment for our economy. Really scary moment. And we're in the middle of an election, so maybe that's good timing. What are you working on for trending?
And after all that serious stuff, I'm talking Nicki Minaj again.
Can't get enough of her.
No, I know. Doctors over right around the world have been forced to talk about Nicki Minaj the last 48 hours, including on this show. We made Dr. Barry Dworkin talk about it yesterday. And
that's true.
Right? So like they've all been talking about it. She said on her Twitter page that she was doing her own research on the vaccine because a relative in Trinidad and Tobago suffered from swollen testicles after getting the vaccine. Uncomfortable topic for sure, but that's what she said. The health officials in that country have now been forced to come out and respond, and this doctor is full value. I can't wait to play it for you.
Well, listen, science be damned. I know a guy.
And Nicki Minaj knows a guy, which makes
it
even more
important.
Who had a
thing after he did the other thing. Therefore, one thing leads to the other thing. I don't think that's the Latin expression that the doc used yesterday, but that's what I call it. The one thing leads to another thing. But it's not necessarily true.
No.
So, you know, I've eaten tomatoes my whole life. Now I have cancer. Tomatoes cause cancer.
I liked, what did Doc say, or was it you that said it yesterday?
He said you're eating
an
apple. Well, yeah, I noticed actually when he said it, he kept it in the present tense, and I didn't want to be a smartass because he said, you eat an apple and then you get hit by a bus. Doesn't mean eating an apple caused if you're hit by a bus. I thought, well, maybe you should have been focusing less on eating the apple.
Exactly.
Maybe it did cause
attention
it, but that's
to the
not
street.
What he meant.
No.
He meant, you know, you eat an apple, then you go outside, get hit by a bus. Eating the apple did not cause the bus accident. Okay, so the White House has offered to talk to Nicki Minaj about how vaccines work. Did you see that?
This is where we're at.
That's where
we are. Don't they have better things to do in the White House?
Apparently not. Millions of people are reading her tweets going, Nicki Minaj says so. What does Dr. Fauci know when Nicki Minaj is doing her own research?
Maybe she can go on the Joe Rogan podcast and they can have a whole thing going on there.
Yeah, Mr. Ivermectin. I took ivermectin and this steroid and that steroid. And first of all, you said ivermectin would mean you didn't even get COVID-19, right? It's like Trump with hydroxychloroquine. Told everyone that was the miracle drug. Then he gets it. He's like, no, I'm taking my doctor's advice. I'm dying here.
Yeah, bring the helicopter, please.
Yeah, I'm not. The fake disease is killing me. I'm not taking the fake cure. That's for those idiots who... I'm telling them what they need to hear so they'll love me. Yeah. So why are the doctors throwing the kitchen sink at it if your ivermectin is miracle cure? Joe Rogan. Go back to hosting a show and get people to eat bugs.